bringing you key insights, tips, and advice from the brightest minds in the Canadian franchise industry, this is the Franchise Canada Chats podcast. I'm Gary Prenevost, your host of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast, where we take you into the world of franchising. Season 7 of Franchise Canada Chats will feature interviews with franchisees, franchisors, and industry leaders sharing key insights and expert advice on navigating challenges on their path to success. Franchise Canada Chats is brought to you by FranNet, Canada's franchise matchmaking experts. At FranNet, we help you to build your optimum business model. Then we introduce you to well-suited franchise options. Then, most importantly, we coach you through all aspects of your research so that you can arrive at an informed and defensible yes or no decision.
Hello, everyone in Franchise Canada land. This is Gary Prenevost, president of FranNet of Southern Ontario and the author of the just-released book, The Unstoppable Franchisee. Welcome back to Franchise Canada Chats. Today's episode is all about the insights and expertise specific to women in franchising. Today, we're joined by Elena Franci of Mr. Appliance of Newmarket and Barrie and Catherine Lehman of Glass Doctor of Durham Region. Elena made the jump from a career in print media to her Mr. Appliance franchise while a recession raged on. Catherine embarked on her entrepreneurial journey in the spring of 2021 after a varied career with stints as a nurse and as a ballerina. We're excited to hear more about their journeys into franchising and their strategies and advice for women in franchising. The Canadian Franchise Association also has special services to empower female entrepreneurs. The Elevate and Empower series has sessions to equip aspiring female franchisees with the necessary tools, insights, and inspirations to overcome obstacles and achieve success. For more information or to register for Elevate and Empower session, head to cfa.ca. Without further ado, folks, let's get into things. I'll start with you, Elena. Tell us a little bit about your background and experience. What drew you to franchising and why specifically with the Neighbourly brands?
So as mentioned, I started with print media and I was an auditor at a major newspaper and I really wasn't enjoying the work that I was doing. So that prompted me to leave and go after what I enjoyed doing was working with computers. So I had gone to school, and unfortunately, just as I had finished schooling, the actual IT bubble started to drop all over. With that, I really had no job, nowhere to go. So my husband and I were looking at different franchising opportunities. We looked at water stores, logistics, pet food stores, all kinds of stuff. In the end, we ended up in a small town just north of Toronto and opened up a laundromat that wasn't existing. We had taken over. And from there, we kind of kept looking, what can we do? We continued our search. And one day we had a repair person come into the laundromat to fix one of our machines. And they were telling us how great it was to be an appliance repair technician. And we thought, well, for the most part, we already serviced our washing and dryers by ourselves because we would pay attention to what they would do and we'd fix them. So we didn't have to pay the fees for service technicians. So we thought, how hard can it be? Let's try and do appliance repair as well. So we ended up finding Mr. Appliance and went down there and did the training and decided that this was definitely the thing for us. And that's how we got into the Mr. Appliance franchise.
And how many years has it been now?
We started in 2009, so 14 years.
Long tenure there.
Yeah.
Okay, Catherine, how about yourself, please?
Well, my background is in administration, and then I went into nursing, and I got into this because I was being supportive of my husband. So I was getting my nursing degree. I had something to work towards. He also wanted the same. And he was tired of working hard for other people and wanted to work hard for our family and reap the rewards directly into our family. So we worked with a franchise broker. Funny enough, his name was also Gary.
Just a wee bit, right? Catherine is one of my previous clients.
And so working with you, we were quizzed on all of our desires for retirement and what that looked like and what running a business looked like to us and what our interests were, what our strengths were. And we were complementary in our strengths, where he was technical and I was administrative and attention to detail. And mind you, all of this going through working for my degree and nursing in a pandemic at a hospital and trying to open this business. And we were given options for medical equipment, like accessibility, which was perfect because it would bring in my nursing and Dave's technical. We were brought into options for locksmithing and glass doctor. And ultimately, we did our diligence for all of the options and came up with glass doctor. We didn't do the medical bit, which was our first choice, because A, there was no territory where we wanted it, and B, the break even was much longer than with glass doctor. And my husband was in showers as a specialty, so it wasn't really a far stretch to end up in this business. We didn't really know the glass specialty per se, because he was more the plumbing aspect and the hard, you know, the surrounds for the showers, but we were provided with expertise and people who did know and were able to teach us. So here we are, 2.5 years.
2.5 years, yes. And that's one of the strengths of the Neighborly family of brands is all the different support, all the different brands in the head office. Well, we might touch on that as we go. I'm curious, the focus today being women in franchising. What's the best approach? Back to you, Elena. What's the best approach when faced with workplace challenges as a female leader?
So I try and stay positive, also available for my staff. We work with them all very closely, and what I try and do is help them and assist them in anything that they do. We try for our business is we try and get them lots of training. We have been known to take our staff to other locations to learn from other appliance repair technicians from other franchisees. That has actually helped us immensely. It's made them realize that, you know, what they're doing, although may be correct, they can actually work better instead of harder. So that's kind of one of the things that we do. We try and make our staff grow, and they know that if they come to us with the suggestion on how to grow, you know, we will always listen to them and try and adapt and just grow our business. But in the process of growing our business, we're also growing them, and they really appreciate that we do help them with that.
And do you find that has helped with retention? Like every business owner in our current climate is faced with staffing challenges. How have you found that approach helped with retention?
Actually, it's been wonderful. My one technician that's been with us the longest, he will be hitting 10 years in April. Everybody that is here has been here for more than 5 years, except for my three most recent who just started. A lot of our staff we've trained in-house. So they come in, they go out with a technician and they run along with them, learn from them. And then from there, we set them out on the road to learn by themselves. But we have such a great functionality within our system. We do a lot of, actually, the technicians communicate usually through Zoom, so they can contact each other. So if they've come into a problem, they can say, look it, here's the video of what's happening. Can you assist me? And because they're not actually on site, they can see what's happening. So they really utilize Zoom a lot to help each other. If they see something that's out, you know, in the market, they can say, hey, everybody look out for this. I thought it was this issue, but now it's that issue. So just the way that everybody, we're a family here, right? Everybody just, they all communicate together. And, you know, the culture here is absolutely wonderful. And people just don't want to leave. I have people all the time asking us to come work for us.
You know, as I hear that, I hear a lot of things you're doing well, Elena. When I interviewed top performers in my book, the chapter on growing your people, The top performers treat their employees as their most important repeat customer, more so than their paying customers, whereas underperformers treat their staff as a resource to be consumed or exploited.
Yeah. So
always something to consider. Okay, Catherine, yourself, same question. The best approach that you've been looking at when faced with workplace challenges as a female leader?
Well, I think, first of all, I remove female from the whole question because you're either a leader or you're not. And a good leader will not ask the people working with them to do anything that they wouldn't be willing to do themselves. And I certainly don't pretend to know everything, but I'm competent in my position. Because if I don't know it, I will find somebody who does, and I will completely cop to that and say, you know, I'm not sure, but let me find out and I'll find you somebody who knows. And to Elena's point, we're all a family. It's kind of like a table with four legs, and everybody working with us is a leg. And so if we don't have that leg, the table falls down. And we're always open to hearing, how can we do this better? And it's not just from the top down, because really, that's just a formality. We are a team. Our staff doesn't work for us, they work with us, and they are our most valuable asset. So our aim is to nurture them and find out what their goals and dreams are and help them to achieve it. And if we can do that and maintain a satisfied staff who's, you know, happy with their way of life, then they'll look after us and we're all invested in this. So they're not just chess pieces to be played. They are our bread and butter.
Okay, thank you. Now let's stay on like the differences. So both of you are in industries that are traditionally very male dominated. Is there anything you would add to the responses around leading and playing in a predominantly male industry? Catherine, stay with you.
As I say, I don't acknowledge the female portion of it, because I think as soon as you play, not that I ever would, but if I ever played the I'm a woman card, I think that I would lose any respect that I've worked hard to gain just by being competent in what I'm doing. And I don't think it comes into play in my head. I don't know how other women in business do it, but it's just not a big deal to me. I'm in business, and I better be competent. And if I'm not, then I better make myself competent, or find somebody who can stand in for me, and I can pay them to be competent.
Well, as you said just a few moments ago, if you don't know the answer, you will find it for them. So it's being a resource.
And we'll learn it together. And I think it's the same way that I would teach in nursing. When I have students, you know, they come in doe-eyed and, oh my God, you know everything. And the fact is, nobody knows everything. And if they say they do, that's a scary nurse. But if we come across something that you don't know and I also don't know, then we're going to go find the answer together, because the important thing is to know where your resources are and where to find the answer, not to always know the answer.
And I think that's a great message for would-be franchisees, is it's okay not to know everything, because the life of an entrepreneur is forever learning.
The learning curve is straight up, my friend.
It never ends, right?
So many hats.
We learn it and something else comes at us.
You don't realize you're going to be wearing the accounting hat and the HR hat and the health and safety hat and the customer service hat and all of these other things that in real life require each their own degree. And I don't have any of those degrees, but you need to learn, and you need to learn where all the landmines are, the things that you don't know that you don't know.
I've said for many years that buying a franchise and running it for the first 2 years is the equivalent of, I call it a practical MBA. You're going to learn more in the first 2 years. The cool thing is you have an asset that you can run after it, as opposed to a degree. It's you've still got to figure out where you're going to play with your degree. Elena, what would you add to that same question? But are you seeing anything unique in a predominantly male environment?
Sometimes I'll get, the odd person who'll be like, can I speak to, the manager? And when I answer, they do the whole, no, the other manager. And I'm like, no, I'm the owner, I'm the manager. So, every once in a while that does happen. But for the most part, people are receptive to it. A lot of times I get, oh, a female. And I'm like, yep, absolutely. I try and exude confidence. I try and stay calm when I'm speaking with people. And a lot of the times that kind of helps. Most people don't really do much with the whole male thing here. They all know that, my husband is here as well, but I do most of the day-to-day things. He does the things with the technicians. And I think as long as we communicate fully with everybody, everybody seems to follow. I don't really get a lot of resistance. And I guess, like Catherine said, it might be just the respect aspect, right? Everybody respects everybody here because we are one happy family, and they know that, it's like we're the mom and dad, and what mom says goes, or what dad says goes. So we don't ever have a problem with that. Even with customers, a lot of the times once they realize that, the person they're speaking to is the owner and a female, we're always calm and nice to them and say, what are you looking for? How can I help you? And usually it calms people down, and, we can make everybody happy. That's our goal in life.
One of the things I'm hearing very clearly from both of you is the degree of empathy you bring to the table. When I was interviewing for my book, all of the CEOs, the vast majority of them felt that women had more empathy, and in some cases were better leaders because of that empathy, a little bit more patience than the hard charging male. Let's transition to talk about mentorship, and both of you, going into the entrepreneurial journey, how important is mentorship for women looking to succeed in franchising? And second part of that is have you had any influential mentors in your journey? And Catherine, please.
I think that, yes, I've had mentorship, but what I'm reading between the lines in the question is, was it female mentorship? And the answer is no. So Neighbourly has provided me with mentorship, and I have various mentors I can go to and have, and Dave as well. And that's been invaluable, but it's not, it's all been male mentorship.
Okay. Elena?
When I first started, actually, I did have a female mentor. They are very far and few between, that is for sure. Although I don't speak with my mentor as often as I used to now that I am 14 years in. She is a great person, and we do speak, once or twice a year. But really, when I started, I really didn't know what I was doing. I was in the office. My husband was out on the road. So I really had to know and do everything. And one of the first things we did is we flew to Texas to visit her. And she showed me her office and was like, this is how I do this. Now, what she does might not work for somebody else, but for me, it did. And I basically mimicked everything that she did in her daily life to my life here in Canada. Now, I had to make some minor changes because, again, some things that are, tested and true in the US don't apply here in Canada. But for the most part, I just mimicked everything she did. And whenever I had a question, I would call her and say, hey, I've got this problem. What did you do to solve it? And, she did help me. Now, as I've grown, I've gotten bigger. I do still speak with her, but I do have a lot more male mentors that help me. So, if I come into something kind of strange, I reach out to multiple people because, again, I've learned over the years that what works for one person might not work for me. So I get a couple of different people's suggestions, and then I adapt and make sure that what I do will be what works for me and my company and my staff.
Now, are those people that you reach out to, are they fellow franchisees in different markets, or is it outside of the franchise industry as well?
I'd say 95% of them are other Mr. Appliance franchisees. There are a couple of people that I do know that are in other industries. And so just from learning from them over the years, I've just been completely different business, but how would you handle this and just get their insight? And it's also nice because they're looking at it because they're not in our industry as a consumer. If it was me, I would expect this or expect that. So it's nice to kind of get that outside look every once in a while.
And one of the things that for our listeners who are considering franchise ownership, and for those of you who are franchisees, the what I call the collective brain trust, the franchisor has been harvesting the experience of all the franchisees in the system, those who have gone before you, learning from their successes and their setbacks, and continually working at optimizing the system, testing, measuring. Sometimes it doesn't happen as fast as a franchisee would want, but the franchisor is being careful to make sure it rolls out well. So what you've just heard from Elena is how she accesses that collective brain trust. And Catherine as well, you're both still, that's always available to you. I'm a big fan of mentors and pushing us outside of our comfort zone, right? That's the role of mentorship is that extra line of sight. And again, just draw you back to what I mentioned at the beginning, the Women in Franchising group at the CFA might be opportunities for you there as you continue to expand. What changes do you see in the franchise industry that may benefit or challenge women entrepreneurs? Elena?
So I think there's a lot more when you do things franchising, because it is turnkey. I think it makes it a lot easier for women to get in there. They've got the support set up. So if you have questions about marketing or how to deal with the customer, you have people you can turn to. Whereas if you were to try and start it on your own, it's a big guessing game. So I think one of the best things about the franchising is that it does help you and assists you to succeed on in your professional life.
Okay, thank you. Catherine?
I think in terms of things that would help is that a lot of things have gone online now. Like most of the interactions begin online. So you don't see a face to the business. You don't see a male or a female. And in some cases, that may be helpful. And the other thing is that's a challenge is the ability to find good help. The old adage, you just can't find good help these days, or it's hard to find good help these days. That is very challenging, whether you're male or female, in terms of bringing on competent staff and getting the right fit, not just for your business, but for the staff you have already and the culture of what we're trying to grow. So we found that particularly challenging. And once you get somebody good, that makes all the difference.
Enjoying the episode so far? Franchise Canada also has bi-monthly newsletters full of franchise opportunities. With Franchise Canada e-news, new content gets sent directly to your inbox, and you can keep up to date on the newest episodes of the Franchise Canada Chats podcast that you're listening to right now. Plus, you get a free subscription to Franchise Canada magazine. Join the 19,000 fellow franchisees, industry leaders, and aspiring entrepreneurs by subscribing at franchisecanada.online. Now, back to the episode.
That, like I said earlier on, every business owner is facing, it doesn't matter what industry. It doesn't mean that they're not out there, just you have to work harder. I recall one of the interviewees she was in an industry where there's a lot of turnover. And she said, Gary, it would be great if we had the opportunity to interview a lot of staff, but sometimes we get somebody who's not quite the skill set that we have, but we get to develop them. And it's such an opportunity to hire people and give them more of an opportunity than they would have had or that they saw in themselves. So it's just, we have to think a little outside of the box. And this is where going back to that collective brain trust, when you talk to your peer franchisees. What strategies or resources do you recommend for women who are considering franchising as a career path to become entrepreneurs? Catherine, go with you first.
Two come to mind, actually. The Chambers of Commerce have a lot of activities or events with women in business. And there are a lot of role models or possible mentors there. There's a brain trust there. And you can get involved in stuff like that. The other one is the Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses. And that is a monthly membership fee. But all of those landmines that you don't know what you don't know until you step on one or you come across something by accident, they will send you weekly emails to say, hey, did you know this is the formula you're supposed to use to pay your employees for this holiday weekend? Or did you know that this government grant is available for employers? Or, you know, hey, you need to know this. Or I think one of the sheets that I stumbled across at the very beginning was posters that I had to have by law hanging in our shop. And there's no way I would have known. Corporate is in Texas. So they're US, they don't know Canadian labor laws. This was specific to Ontario. And they have HR references, you know, resources. So you can call and say, I need help with this, or I need a legal document with that. And they will help you with it. And finally, I actually hired a human resources consulting firm just to hold my hand, and they're piecemeal. So if I have something specific that I need, I will contact them and make sure that my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed, because that can be a very expensive mistake to make.
Okay, so those are all really good resources once you're up and running, right? That all of the CFIB, the chambers, they're really for more for existing business owners than for people starting, trying to figure out what to buy. So I think part of the question is, what are the resources for people, women who want to become entrepreneurs, that they're not there yet?
Definitely look into all the hats you're going to have to wear. What degrees don't you have that you're going to have to brush up on PDQ? It's a shock, and it's a severe ride, but I'm starting to see that it's going to be worth it.
And I, you know, I think of the work that we did together with you and David, all the things that you prepare for, and you think you've got it ready. There's still more to learn once you start, right? I think, folks, you really want to do that self-introspection. And what are your skills? What are your skill gaps? This is the type of work I help our clients with. So, Elena, how about yourself? From your perspective, the resources for recommended for women who are thinking about self-employment.
Well, if you're going into franchising, my first suggestion would be to contact, obviously, the franchisee and say, who do you have that is a female that is currently active in your system? And hopefully they have multiple ones, and reach out to them and ask them questions, and not just, you know, what have you done that's been great, but what have you done that's failed? So you can kind of learn and understand the different things that you'll see when you get started, some of the failures that will happen, some of the successes that will happen, and try and fully understand what you're getting into. Like Catherine said, you do wear multiple hats when you start. You're not just, you know, some lady answering the phone. You're also accounting. You're taking care of the technicians. You're taking care of trucks. You're taking care of basically everything. You know, if someone gets hurt, you've got to take care of that. But I would suggest reaching out to other franchisees, preferably that are female, and find out what obstacles they've hit and how they've solved them.
Definitely. And the Canadian Franchise Association, folks, has a list of questions for franchisors and franchisees. Myself and one of Canada's top lawyers created that list, and we revise it every year. So there's a lot of questions. What Elena's talking about is validation, what we call validation, talking to enough, and it's not just one or two. We recommended 8 to 10 existing franchisees. What are their experiences, as Elena just mentioned? What is the work it takes to achieve your financial goals? I think one of the most important questions people want to understand is, how much money can I make in franchise ownership? I actually think it's the wrong question, though, because what other people do is up how well they run the business. So the question that you as a potential entrepreneur want to answer is, how much money do you need to make? What is your goal? And then more importantly, what is the work you have to do within a specific brand to achieve at that level? And it's the existing franchisees who will help you understand that as you go. And what's the ramp up time? How long does it take? Because it's always longer, isn't it? You guys, it was fat. It took longer. It was harder, and it's still it's a nonstop challenge as we've heard. Second last question. What do you hope that women listening to this podcast will take away, Elena?
I hope that they will understand that it's not just like you snap your fingers and away you go and the money starts coming in. It is a struggle to begin with, but as long as you're asking for help and constantly growing, it is something that you can succeed at. I take pride in what I've done. It's taken me many, many years to get to where I am, but a lot of it has been asking for help. I cannot even tell you how many phone calls I've made or emails I've sent or chats I've created that have said, what are you doing? And, you know, who can help me to make sure that I'm doing the right thing? And again, not everything that I do would work for you, and not everything that Catherine does will work for someone, right? You have to understand that there's multiple paths you can take, and you have to make the one that is good for you and your company. And realize that you've got to be flexible, that if you've gone down a path and it's not working, that it's time to go 360 and temporarily go back to where you were and then figure out another option. And I have done that over the years where I've gone to visit a franchisee. I tend not to do it over the phone when possible. I like to actually go see the place in operation. It helps me visualize what I want my company to be. So if you can go visit people, that would be my strongest suggestion. When I was looking originally at the different franchises to choose from, that is what we did. We flew to Colorado to look at a water store. We went to Toronto to look at a pet food store. I can't remember where the logistics one was, but we literally traveled, and I know that I need to spend money to make money. And sometimes you spend money, you know, foolishly, but a lot of times the stuff that you learn while you're away, it can really help you. So if you have the means to take a quick trip somewhere to see someone in person and see how they run it, I think that would be the best way for you to learn and understand what you're getting into.
And the advantage of looking at multiple options, you can really learn from the different ones and figure out which is the best fit overall.
Yeah. So we've been to, in my 14 years, probably about 10 or 11 different Mr. Appliances. And from each one, I've taken something home and adapted. And it's funny because my office staff, they're like, oh, they're going away again. Changes are coming. And it's like, yes, changes are coming, because every time we come back and a couple of times have failed, you know, we came back and we're like, you know what, we're revamping the office and we're doing it like this. And within 2 weeks, we were like, oh, that was a horrible mistake. Let's go back. And then, you know, changed it a bit more subtly and was like, let's change this instead. But again, not everything that you do will work, and it's okay. Just kind of step back, regroup, and figure out what will work for you.
What's the lesson within either a success or a challenge, right?
Yeah.
Catherine, how about yourself? What would you hope that women listening to this podcast will take away?
I think, again, I would just remove the women in business, because we all have a right to take a stab at it, whether you're male or female. And you walk in there like you belong. And I don't know, I grew up in a generation where there were no boundaries for me, and that's a privilege. So unless it's shoved in my face that there's going to be a roadblock somewhere that I'm going to have to talk down, like there's no need for this, because Again, competency. So if you do your homework and you know what's coming and you know how you're going to deal with it, have a plan. And once you get there, lift each other up. Elena, I've sent you lots of people who call and they'll say, you know, do you replace glass stovetops or do you replace, you know, whatever it is, glass shelves and fridges or whatever.
Thank you.
It's a neighborly thing to do, right? And we're always looking for our neighbors. So refer people and support each other and act like you belong and you deserve to be there.
Well said. I want to go back to, because you both in your last response have touched on what we talked about earlier on, which is the franchise family and the interdependence. For listeners who are thinking about self-employment and not thinking about franchising and thinking about start from scratch or buying an existing businesses, there's pros and cons to each option. But one of the biggest advantages of franchising is the access to all this intellectual brain trust and all that experience that the other two options don't have. When you're an independent business owner, you're by yourself. Yes, you can go to the CFIB, like Catherine said, or Chambers of Commerce, but it's a lot harder to build those relationships with people who are running businesses the same as you, because in every other business, they're competitors. In franchising, they're your neighbors. So it's the different things to consider. Okay, my last question for each of you, and I'll ask you first, Elena, what have I not asked you that you would ask yourself related to the topic of women in franchising?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I need a minute for this one. I'm sorry, guys. I think you guys asked me everything. I can't think of anything that's missing. I don't even know how to answer that question. I'm so sorry.
No, don't apologize. We'll give you a minute if there's anything else that comes. Catherine, how about yourself?
I think that if I had to ask a question as myself that I didn't ask going into this, or maybe I did, but I didn't understand the actual severity, was how do you plan on getting through however long it takes until you can actually draw funds from your business? Because that's a scary vacuum. You know, it's just been this year that we've been able to start to draw anything and support ourselves with the business. So, and we can't even fully do that yet. But it is definitely a relief and it's uncharted territory. So how do you plan on supporting yourself for the 2 years that, you know, there's nothing and all you see is funds going out?
You know, we call it the combination of the business working capital and the personal working capital. I think so many people underestimate the personal working capital that they have to support the family while the business is keeping it going. And you and David went all in, like you're both, this is the business. So you want to think about, is there a partner that can be supporting the household or at least partially supporting the household while you're launching your business, folks? The franchisor will tell you, here's the initial investment, here's the working capital for a certain period of time. But you want to look at the business working capital and the personal working capital as you plan this pathway. One other thing, Catherine, I've heard several times today, and you're right, that there should not be the barrier or the filter of women versus men. But so many women feel that filter from the environment that they're in. You've been privileged enough that you've got that approach. Is there anything you would help to, because you've got that different perspective, anything you would give them a nudge or something to consider other than what you've already said?
In terms of what?
Well, that if they're feeling the filter of, yeah, I am in a, you know, I am limited because I'm a woman, or there's not as many options available to me because there's just a perception that's we know is incorrect. But any thoughts on that?
I think you just have to live it and fake it till you make it, knowing that you have to put that lens on it, is that they're the only barriers out there should be the barriers that you put on yourself. So just don't.
Agreed. I actually talked to that in my keynote. So agree 100%. Okay, Elena, back to you. Did you come up with any thoughts?
Question? So how about what percentage of people succeed either going alone or versus going with a franchisor?
Do you know the answer?
I do not, but I'm curious to know what the answer is.
So for those of you thinking about franchise ownership, it is a much lower risk perspective. There is a franchise show coming up October 22nd, 23rd in Toronto to help you see a lot more options. But it is important that it's a lower risk model because of all the reasons, the franchisor support. They've figured a lot of things out, the marketing, the branding, the supply chain, things that you just don't even think about until you get into it. I think there's one other thing that Elena, you were mentioning in our pre-discussion, which is the work-life balance and interrupting. I think that this is important for people to understand. So please, any thoughts on finding that balance or working towards that balance?
You have to really set your hours and try and stick with them. My staff do know that my phone is always on, my door is always open, and they can come see me at any time, whether it's 8 o'clock at night or, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they can always reach out to me. But my staff know that, at the end of the day at 5 o'clock, I want them to be done because I want to be done. I want to be able to, I have a 14-year-old boy and I want to be able to go do things with him. He does hockey and he does go-karting. And in the winter, he tries to do snowboarding and some other things. And I like to have my evenings free and weekends free to be able to do those things with him and make sure he has a great life and we have a wonderful family life. So I try my hardest to, at 5 o'clock, shut everything down. Now, again, not always possible with the way that, the internet is today on our phones. We all have emails and you hear ding and you, of course, swipe up and look and you're like, oh, I've got an email. We try to shut everything off at 5 when possible. So, we can have a family life because that is very important. If it's all work and no play, you will eventually crash, and that's just never a good thing.
But it wasn't like that in the early years, was it? I described year one as a sacrifice year. You're going to do whatever it takes. More time in, and you're not going to see the money coming out. Year two is a build year. You're going to gain momentum. But so the first 2 years, really understand that journey, the learning journey, but also the sacrifice journey as you're getting this new life established. The advantage is once you've got a good business, you're in absolute control and nobody else has their finger on the button of your career. Well, ladies, thank you very much for another awesome episode. That's a wrap for this episode of Franchise Canada Chats, folks. All the very best. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Canada Chats. Catch up on every episode of Franchise Canada Chats on SoundCloud, Spotify, or wherever you get your audio media. For more franchising resources, including how-to articles, expert advice, franchise success stories, and franchise opportunities, visit franchisecanada.online. Don't forget to subscribe to Franchise Canada eNews while you're there. You can also learn more about franchising at cfa.ca and connect with specific franchise opportunities at lookforafranchise.ca.